This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
At your service, it's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts. To ask a question, call 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Now, the host of the Home Improvement Show, Rich Orris, on 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, friends, we are back. We got a whole nother hour of this home improvement, Camo X Home Improvement Show for you, and a lot of great conversations, a lot of great things going on. We've run into some time crunches there and had to end some stuff a little bit quickly, but that's okay. We'll help out best we can every time. And again, we've got another hour here. Want to welcome in the 97.1 FM crowd and say, give me a shout. Anything you've got going on around your house, any kind of DIY projects, anything that you're thinking, we'll help you get through it right here today. 314-436-7900. And so I wanted to describe the crawl space thing here for Dan's question. And just kind of run through it real quick for an understanding of what's happened and why things have changed. But so a typical crawl space like that like Dan was asking about and kind of explaining, years back they would put two or three foundation vents inside the foundation that you could open and close and let air from outside of the building into that crawl space. And they were kind of like an attic. They thought, well, you really need to ventilate this area, and you do, but ventilating it from the outside isn't the best way to do that when it's underneath you and when you're talking about moisture in your floor. So they would build it like that, put these vents in it. They would put fiberglass insulation inside the floor between all the floor joists, and they would have that in there. And so what happens with that also is the edges of your walls and your floor to the outside where the siding is, right along in between the what we call the band board, where the floor joist is, the wall, the plywood, and where it connects to on the sill plate to the concrete, there's all these technical pieces that go in there, and those are your huge leaking points. And so what would happen often is air would infiltrate in to that floor, and then it would get between the bat insulation that's in the floor joists and the underside of the plywood of the subfloor, and it would just stay. So if you had cold air infiltrating in the winter, your floor would feel very cold because you have cold air trapped between the subfloor and the insulation. And the insulation is helping keep that temperature. It's doing its job. So once it's very cold there, it's hard to warm it up because there's no airflow and it's kind of locked in there. In today's world, what we've learned scientifically about the home and how to make this function, the way we build a crawl space right now, and I literally have a room addition. We started excavation on Wednesday or Thursday on this room addition, and we're doing this exact crawl space. And so basically, once you build the foundation, you put no vents in the foundation whatsoever. You build your subfloor, everything. Inside that crawl space area, we always put in a sump pump, drain tile line, sump pump pit, everything ready to go in case you start getting a pretty good size amount of water that comes in. And they do the same thing in new construction for basements now. That's just part of that system. So we've made that part of this system when we build. So the sump pump's there. You put in a rubber lining and it covers the entire floor. It curves and goes up the foundation wall, basically to the top of the foundation. So it's kind of like a, think of a reverse swimming pool. You're not trying to keep water in the swimming pool. You're trying to keep water under the swimming pool. So you take the isonine foam, spray in foam insulation, and you go around the band board and you spray that just like in your basement. Now you've got the bad insulation around the band board. Well, if you spray that with foam, you'll get a better R value and you'll block air infiltration. So you can spray that down onto the concrete, block any air from coming in. It'll help keep bugs and things like that out in the same respect. That goes down to the top of that rubber liner, and now it seals everything. And what you do is you leave that vent, you leave the access into that crawl space from your basement area open. Don't seal it off. Let the air exchange. And that will give you the best crawl space condition that will last the absolute longest. So, hey, we're going to jump into a break here. But again, I want to remind everybody, 97.1 Side included. You can find me right here, 314-436-7900. We'll be right back after this.
Now, back to the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Once again, here's Rich Orris.
All right, everybody, we are back. A lot of time left for you. We can get to anything you need, anything you're curious about, any projects you may be starting. Maybe you want to learn something, get some ideas. Feel free. You can get with me today right here, 314-436-7900. Phone lines are wide open, ready to go for you. And I wanted to touch back a little bit towards the conversation with Mildred, because we kind of ended that a little bit quickly, too. When we were talking about when you have a brick chimney sticking out of your roof, one of the options would be to either fix that chimney, tuck point it, seal it up, get a new cap on it. We do this all the time. You need proper step flashing and counter flashing and copper flashing around, all this stuff. You can do that. Or if you are eliminating things and never going to use it as a chimney again, there's the option to think about just unstacking that, basically demoing it down lower than the roof line, filling in the roof, roofing shingle over it, and it's just gone. And you will never have to look back at that tuck pointing, masonry repairs, all of that at a later date. So it might be a little bit different now, but you won't have to go back at it if you're staying in your home for a long time. Now, this will also, you got to look at all the different houses and the different scenarios. If your chimney's kind of half into the roof and on the side of the house going all the way up and it sticks out past the roof line, that's not going to, it's going to be a little harder done than said. If it's coming out through the whole thing, then yep, you can take care of that. So,
Doug?
So, yeah, we got a first caller on the line here. I can't see the name here. Is it Gaddy? Are you with us? Hey, are you there? Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, what's your name?
Paul.
Oh, Paul. Yeah. Well, that's easier. Paul, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling, Paul. What's happening?
You were talking about how to build a crawl space with the foam insulation sprayed up on the perimeter board and the sill plate.
Yes, sir.
My concern is about termites. If they should get into that wood, you won't know they're there.
Well, so that is the one downside to that spray foam insulation is you cannot inspect for termites from the inside of that crawl space or looking around that bam board any longer. And if it's an older home, you may want to watch that, because when we build a crawl space today, we're gonna make sure, and it's a part of the code, we're going to be showing at least 8 inches of foundation sticking up out of the grade. So you can kind of do your inspection from the outside of making sure there's no termite trails, because you would see them on the outside of the foundation. So that could be okay in a newer construction, but you are right. And if it's an older room and that thing's really close to the ground, it could be hard to inspect from the outside too. And that's the only downfall, is they can no longer poke and prod and look for termites from the inside.
Well, that being the case, would you recommend with an older home that's close to the ground that you not use the foam?
So what I would probably say, I would still probably recommend using the foam and considering just having the home treated for termites. That way you know you're covered. And they can inspect it every year, and they've done the work around it, and then your chances of termites are way less because you've done that portion. So not to make an expensive job more expensive, but that's what happens. You start to think about it. But it would still be the best way to really seal that up and not – because let's put it this way. When I go out and I look and I see all these issues, and when I look at crawl spaces with issues, I see more crawl spaces with air infiltration, temperature difference, condensation, and mold issues – because of no liner, dirt on the floor, air comes in, it brings humidity with it, and it causes, and then they're sealing for mold, and it's kind of musty and stinky down there, and it's a health hazard. So I see way more of that than I see the termite issue.
Yes. Now, if you have those vents installed in your old house, would you recommend closing them up? Because you said you don't use it in new construction anymore.
Yes, I would. And we do got to get to a break here, Paul. So if Doug and Barb can hold the line through the break, Paul, if you have any more questions, you want to hold the line through the break, that would be awesome. We got Cardinals coming up, but everybody will still be on 97.1 with the home improvement. So stick with us.
97.1 FM Talk. St. Louis is home for conservative talk.
All right, we are back. Cardinals underway, but we're here, Home Improvement Show on 97.1 FM. Again, I'm right here for you. We got till the top of the hour here, so 314-436-7900 is how you will find me, and Doug has successfully done that. So, Doug, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, thank you, sir. Thanks for calling in. What's happening?
Well, staying with crawl spaces, matter of fact, I just tuned in and heard you talking about them. I don't know if you've addressed this yet, but my crawl space is on concrete block.
Okay.
And, you know, so you got all the spaces in the concrete block, and sometimes I feel moisture coming up through the block, and that's hitting the sill plate.
Yeah. Yep. So
what can be done about that?
Well, the only thing that would be different from what I spoke about what we would do on the inside would be going around the outside of that block foundation wall and making sure that it's tuck pointed, sealed where it hits the plate, make sure it's tuck pointed, caulked, sealed up as much as possible. But when you put the foam on the inside, and you still put the rubber liner up the wall, so you either spray the foam down the wall or you run the rubber liner up the wall, spray the foam down over top of it. Either way, it'll lock that moisture and all that air infiltration and anything that's happening under that liner. So it'll still be sealed from the inside of that crawl space, but for just keeping moisture away and any good practice would be go around the outside, do any tuck pointing, fill any cracks, and then maybe I would even say you could paint it with a foundation moisture barrier type paint or something to kind of really try and seal, because those blocks are more porous. Concrete's porous, but the blocks are even more porous and they're hollow inside. So there's a lot of space there and a lot of reason that air infiltrates in and all that happens. So maybe a layer of paint would help keep some of that out once you're tuck pointed too. So you just got a little more work on the outside to do, but the inside, I would do it exactly how I was saying.
Understood. Around the back side of the house, at least, I dug around the foundation and put dry luck on the blocks.
Yep.
But I'm not going to do that around the front.
Yeah. Yep. No, that's right. Definitely a good thing to do. So, and it definitely, that crawl space will just last longer. You'll have less issues. It won't smell all musty and you won't get mold, mildew issues and all that when you keep this stuff out.
Understood. So, what about just putting a fan down there for air circulation?
Well, so I would be careful of that, because, and that's why when I talked about, so when we do, like when we're building one, we pour the foundation for the crawl space, and then from inside the basement, we cut like a 30-inch by 20-inch or whatever code required size opening through the foundation for access into that crawl space. And what you do is you leave that access open so the air can kind of circulate with the basement. The problem with fans are if you put a fan, say you put a fan in that opening, you had it blowing towards the actual basement. Well, when you forcefully move air on purpose, it creates draw and it will try and it will need to get air from somewhere, and it might pull air from the room above it down into the crawl space to keep that air moving. So the same thing with attics, when people say, well, we're going to put this power fan in the attic, and when it gets too hot, it's going to forcefully blow all this air outside of our attic. I'm like, well, that's great for that attic right there, but when you move that much air, where does the new air come from that it gets? If you don't have enough places for the air to come in at, it will take it from other places, like the second floor of the house. It'll pull it around light fixtures. So that could happen in your crawl space too, if you're forcefully moving air. So in most rooms and crawl spaces, the good thing is if you leave that open, most of them are going to have ductwork in them, like ductwork running from the furnace through that crawl space to get to the window and the exterior wall to put air into the room. Well, ductwork generally leaks 20 or 30% of what blows through it, just in general. So if there's two ductwork runs in there, you're getting some air movement because of that leakage. So it'll be okay. You just need to have a space in that opening to let that air go somewhere. Sound good?
Sounds good.
Hey, thanks for the call, Doug. Great questions. A lot of crawl space stuff going on today. And again, to backtrack into what originally Dan was talking about is, yes, this is something that we have learned and developed here at Mosby Building Arts over the years of trying to build the right way. And this is work that Mosby Building Arts would perform. So if you were so interested to have one of us come out, take a look at the crawl space, look at outside, look at the whole situation and advise kind of scientifically, like, this is the situation you're under. This is what I do to correct it. We can also take care of that work for you too and let you know what that path would be like. So feel free to give Mosby a call for any recommendations on different companies. And we have a lot of great trade partners that we use. Or call us, we can come out and we can look at issues like this for you. 314-909-1800 is that number to get to us at Mosby Building Arts. And you can also go on our website, callmosby.com. You can find a lot about us. You can find a lot about me. You can look up the radio stuff, different specials we have, things we have going on. You can always search on my social media stuff too. If you have LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, just put Mosby and Rich Orris in the same line and you'll find my stuff really easily. And that'll give you some information about me and what I do for Mosby and how we do everything and all that great stuff. And of course, if you hear things on this show, like I kind of always try and do a little bit of a recap at the beginning of things that happened the weeks prior, you can always go to Odyssey.com, go into the Odyssey stuff. You can go back and hear old episodes, past episodes of what we talked about. So if you hear something like this today and you think, man, that was, I didn't quite get all that, that was good information, you can go back there and listen to this again. It'll be there like next week or the week after, and you can find this stuff and help you out, get through it. That's the main goal here today. And pretty much what I do all week long is seeing people, just helping them through what it takes, what happens, talking about the different levels of the different companies and where are we positioned and where are other people positioned. And it's not that one's good, bad, indifferent. Some different systems work fine for different people or different types of people. Being a project manager, coming from the field like myself, I like to control things. I like to understand them. I want to be a part of that. A lot of my clients, they're like, I'm glad that you're that way because I'm not. And so we're going with you because we want you to tackle 100% of this and we want a lot of peace of mind. So during the week, as I go around and talk about best practices and how we handle things and how we're different with the architectural side, the designing architectural, those professional services, how we piece it out, what does it entail, when do we do what, where, when, and why. It's a big thing because it is different. And a lot of what I see, like really in the past couple weeks, I've seen two different clients that had drawings performed for front porches on their house. And both of them they've had them for quite a while. One was done in 2021, so they've had them for like 3 years. And they kind of looked at back then, oh, wow, you know, things were too expensive at that point. And that's why we've kind of changed up our system and particularly why we try and talk about those investments from day one, even in the first meeting of here's how we can get you through the process. Here's how we can divide up the payments to get to the architectural. But why do full stamped architectural prints on a front porch that you're going to find out, you're going to use these drawings for the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years to realize you're just never going to build this. So we see a lot of those prints, you could turn them in for permits. They're ready to go and they may not get used. So we kind of break that up and do more conceptual stuff and do things in a little bit different way to kind of help piece that in and learn what are the options and what can I have. And like I was talking about with Debbie about maybe that sunroom, maybe it costs less and you only go out 10 feet instead of 20, and you realize what that room could get you. And if that's a better budget range for you and it works, then that's something you can investigate and see it both ways, see it a lot of ways, see different ways to perform everything and get to kind of pick through that, almost like a smorgasbord of, I've got three projects here. You got your plate, you're looking at the food, and you're seeing what each line costs, and you go, well, I'm going with this one because that's kind of where my budget is. Well, that can help people understand that all the way through and not necessarily get all the way to stamped architectural permits that you then start bringing people out, and people start saying, well, yeah, that's $80,000. And you're like, oh, I never thought that. I never knew that. And I never really planned on spending that. And then, well, there you are. And it's amazing. I'll tell you what has happened in the past 3, 4, 5 years with the cost of construction is absolutely phenomenal. So I was looking up the cost versus value. There's a thing that Remodeler Magazine does called cost versus value. They do it every single year. So I'm looking at what some of these things are, and they kind of predict what's the best return on your investments. And they actually have figures to this stuff. It's quite phenomenal. I know they have their formulas. I know they're probably fairly accurate. I don't know necessarily 100% exactly how they work or how they figure that out. But it is interesting because you kind of see like a national average of what things cost. And when looking at one of the biggest things on their list, a primary suite addition, upscaled, like a nice big room addition that has a walk-in closet, a big master bathroom, some nice things. Well, in 2019, the average cost for a room addition like that was $261,000. And in 2024, it's $332,000. It's up like 30%. So it's kind of like the housing market. The houses aren't getting any cheaper, and neither is any of this. So to think about, one, doing things sooner rather than later to kind of try and beat that is a good thought. And one of the things I found really most interesting, and I think it plays a good hand in real estate and real estate agents and how they perceive value and how people coming to look at to purchase houses perceive value of different things. So most of these return on investments are a negative number. When you look at these projects, you're not actually getting your money back. So in 2019, your return on your investment on that primary suite addition for $261,000 was 50%. You got half your money back when you sold your house. Right now, it's 24%. So that has been cut in half. So you're actually, they're literally giving you an $81,000 return on your investment for $332,000 room, when in 2019, you got $136,000 back on a lesser cost room. But the most, really the coolest thing to me, the most, not really surprising thing, but something to understand when you're looking at performing work to your house, and if you are very concerned with return on investment, 9 out of the top 10 projects that get you the best return on investment are all outdoor projects. It's the real estate agent people kind of thing. It's curb appeal. Those are the things that get you your money back. The front door, the garage door, the siding, the windows, all these projects is where you get the most, you recoup most of your money back from performing work on your house. 9 out of 10 are outside. And the one that's inside isn't a full thing because the return on investments have dropped so much. The one is a minor kitchen, just like an update. So it's countertops, faucet, sink, maybe some backsplash tile. It's the updates, not the full remodels, is what's getting you the most money back inside your home, and it's inside the kitchen is literally where it was. So there's a lot to be said for how all that works and happens, and it's a changing time, and it's very different these days. So hang on and get ready and get used to it. So, hey, we're going to jump into our break. We're going to have a good long segment for you when we come back. So if you have any thoughts on that, you have any questions about that, you have any questions about any work around your house, I'm right here. Lines are wide open, 314-436-7900. Don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Home Improvement Show, presented by Mosby Building Arts on 97.1 FM Talk. Now, once again, Rich Orris.
All right, friends, last segment. We are back. Camo X Home Improvement Show. You can find me any conversation you want to have, any question, any curiosities about your home right here. Phone lines are open. 314-436-7900 is how you get to me. And I will be here waiting for you. And so, yeah, let's just do a moment of silence thing. Let's just wait and see what happens. What do you think? The producer's looking at me laughing like, yeah, I don't think they go for that here. Yeah. Well, so let's stay on this architectural thing and building thing and the blueprints and the different things and everything you got to go through to figure something out. Because another thing I just looked at recently that I've seen quite a few, the conversation is coming up way more and more about this. And it's definitely a good conversation for the different municipalities, because a lot of different areas will look at these type of structures very differently. And of course, the big thing that's starting to happen now is the whole Airbnb. That's what a lot of municipalities are worried about. And what I'm talking about is what they call the ADU, the accessible dwelling unit, the mother-in-law home in the backyard, a space for extended family to stay, live, be there, and kind of be away at the same time. So when you look at, and I just went on one looking at in downtown in the city, that plenty of space, really probably one of the biggest backyards I've seen in the city. So as far as plenty of space to do what you want, and they will let you do it there. But when we're talking about another dwelling unit, of course it needs everything. So think about the room addition I was just talking about, the primary suite with the ranges of what it could cost an average across the United States to build something like this. And that's got a bathroom in it, but now you also need at least a bathroom, and you need a kitchen. So you need some sort of small kitchen. And of course, when you look at remodeling or building anything, what's the two most expensive things in the house to perform any work on? Kitchen, then bathroom. So when you have a unit like this and you're putting kitchen and bathroom in it, of course, everything's just elevating. But The other thing you got to think of is like new construction. When you have a house built, when you have a subdivision built, what's the first thing they do? Well, they need infrastructure. Your backyard does not have the infrastructure ready to go for a second home. So a little bit different than just building a room addition, because when you're attaching to the home, you can come out from the existing basement, get your plumbing, get your electrical from in the house. You've already got all these services coming to the house. So you might need to upsize, and you definitely need to add to them. But in the wake of building one of these accessible dwelling units, you need a sewer lateral. You need water coming in that you're going to have to underground. You need a water service coming to it. Maybe you need cable or fiber optic. You want to watch TV or different things in there. You're going to have just the site conditions of getting through all that and preparing that spot to the now accept what we've already looked at, what some of these crazy expenses can be. This is another spot where I see these dwelling units drawn out, ready to go. Here, build this. And then they get quotes from 3-4 different companies. They look in it and they're kind of this bid-based system. And they're like, wow, the cheapest is $250,000 and the most expensive is $400,000 or whatever. And you're at a spot where it would have been really good to have that conversation more up front and knowing like, well, wait a minute, let's pause the drawing here. I didn't think this would cost more than $100,000 or $200,000 or something. So having those conversations can be so important to understanding and picking where exactly you go and what exactly do you do. And I have a lot of conversations about the type of company. So we had a conversation a couple weeks ago when a question came in from Jim about different types of companies, and we spoke about repairing some sliding doors, and we talked about, he's like, who does this? Do I find a handyman? Do I find a company? Do I find this? And we talked about the different levels of the service, and then again, the different levels of the quality that you might get or expect from different levels of companies. That's how you get different levels of investments to repair or build or remodel things that on the surface, without a lot of expectation settings or understanding the company that you're talking to and everything they do, it can cause some wildly different investment levels for what seems like the same thing, but really isn't. It's not necessarily apples to apples, but it can seem that way. And then you're looking at, why do I have all these different pricing range from all these different companies that I think I'm getting the same thing, and you're really, really not. So if you kind of took that and said, well, let's relay that same conversation into going out to dinner. If you were just going out to dinner and someone said, hey, let's go, I got this really nice place, it's going to be great, it's $86 for dinner. And you're like, holy cow, that must be a night, like what? That's a lot of money for dinner. And what they didn't tell you is it's a detective murder mystery dinner show. And now you're like, oh, well, see, now that could be entertaining. Like, okay, so I'm not just paying for a steak or a piece of fish. There's people entertaining me at the same time. And that's where that difference can come in. What exactly is happening? What's that level of service? What do they provide that is that no one else does? What can I get out of it? And that sways the cost. I've often taken that same scenario to automobiles when Debbie earlier was talking about, are they going to charge me per square foot for this much square foot or this much square foot? And I go back and I, in trying to explain one with that is, well, some of it's going to be for all of it and some of it's going to be for half of it. And that's where it's hard to do that. Well, let's go car shopping and let's ask all the different car dealers, well, what does your car cost per pound? And you will find when you go to a Kia, when you go to a Toyota, and when you get to a Lamborghini, I'll tell you what, a Lamborghini probably weighs less than a Toyota. And yet one costs $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and the other costs $250,000, $300,000, $350,000. You weigh those cars and you spread it per pound, it makes no sense whatsoever. But you're getting something so obviously different. You can hold the apple and the orange and go, I understand why the cars are so different because I'm looking at them and I get to test drive them and I get to have a really good time in them before I even make that decision. I'll never forget going with my wife years ago and we test drove an Audi, however you say. Man, okay. If I thought for 5 minutes I could afford that car, we would have left with it that day. It was super nice, phenomenal, had every feature you could ever imagine. It was great. Well, at the end of the day, after shopping for weeks, we drove off from a different place in a one-year-old Ford Explorer. You know, that's just what you do. That's and remodeling can be the exact same way. It's really figuring out what are all the parts and pieces? What are they really doing, performing, and getting for me? Then once you understand that, you can make a good, educated decision on what you're going to do because not everything is for everyone. And I wasn't upset that the Audi cost $90,000. I understood it, and I just wasn't going to buy it. So you can make those same decisions through your remodeling by getting deep into it and really understanding and knowing what's going to happen rather than just kind of a not great expectation set, open-ended bid that's, yeah, we can do this for that. And the hardship is, imagine if you did buy that Audi, and then the minute you drove off the lot, they were like, oh, by the way, that it doesn't come with wheels. We need to change order your wheels. And you thought, well, it's a car. It has four. How can it not? And that's some of the things that happens, unfortunately, in our industry as well. Like Debbie was saying, I've been through this. We had a horrible time. I'm trying to figure out how not to go back there. And she even mentioned that her husband said, we're not even doing this because I just don't even want to go back there. So there's a lot to be said for research, talking, doing your own research, finding out about people, understanding exactly what they're going to do. And if you don't have it in writing, what I would say is assume you're not getting it. Just assume it's not a part of it. If it's not in writing and you don't know, and it doesn't say, yep, we're putting in four can lights, then assume you're not getting the four can lights because they may come back and end up saying, oh, yeah, no, that wasn't in there. We didn't have that part of it in there. And then you're adding things and you end up paying more. So now all of a sudden I'm paying $110,000 for that $90,000 Audi because it didn't come with a stereo or speakers or anything else either. That wouldn't go over very well for anyone buying a car. So think about that and be concerned with that as you're buying remodeling and repairs and all the other things for your home. So, hey, had a great time today. Some great questions, great conversations. Everybody out there, be good. Be good to your homes. I'll talk to you next week.